This episode is brought to you by Coinbase Institutional, the first choice of sophisticated investors and institutions that want to invest in crypto assets. As the only publicly traded company with experience trading and custodying digital assets at scale, over 11,000 clients use Coinbase products like Prime and Exchange. Coinbase also recently announced that they're on the path to launching derivatives. Invest in the most trusted name in crypto. Learn more at coinbase.com/institutional.
Here's your money briefing for Wednesday, June 8th. I'm J.R. Whalen for The Wall Street Journal. Have you taken a flight lately? There's a lot that can make passengers' blood boil. The crowds, the delays, not to mention the growing list of fees, even for picking out a seat.
A consultant I talked to called these seat fees an economic gift to airlines because it requires, you know, literally no investment. They're just monetizing the seat map.
So how high can these fees run? We'll ask Wall Street Journal travel columnist Dawn Gilbertson about that, as well as how passengers can avoid seat fees. That's after the break.
This episode is brought to you by Coinbase Institutional, the first choice of sophisticated investors and institutions that want to invest in crypto assets. As the only publicly traded company with experience trading and custodying digital assets at scale, over 11,000 clients use Coinbase products like Prime and Exchange. Coinbase also recently announced that they're on the path to launching derivatives. Invest in the most trusted name in crypto. Learn more at coinbase.com/institutional.
The price of an airline ticket has gone up with pretty much everything else. But for many air passengers these days, there's a little extra shock in that sticker shock. Airlines charging fees that sometimes exceed $100 just to pick out a seat. So why are airlines doing this, and how can passengers avoid paying? Wall Street Journal travel columnist Dawn Gilbertson is making her Your Money Briefing debut and is here to break down the numbers for us. Hey, Dawn, welcome to the show. Thank you so much for being with us.
Thanks for having me.
So, Dawn, what's a typical fee for reserving seats?
Well, the unfortunate thing is there is no typical fee. I mean, airlines have some price ranges on their websites, but what I found is a lot of times those even aren't realistic because these prices are dynamic. I interviewed a passenger who paid $27 for an aisle seat, and I found fees as high as $100. As an example, I priced a flight from Atlanta to LAX in mid-July on Delta Airlines, and seat 15D, which is an ordinary aisle seat, the price tag that popped up was $104.99 each way.
Wow. So what are the passengers getting in return?
Well, there's different categories of seats. My column focuses on what the airlines love to call preferred seats, and I think there's absolutely nothing preferred about them except that they're generally near the front of the plane. Airlines argue that people like to get off the plane quicker. There's no extra legroom, no free drinks, no early boarding. You are simply getting a seat that the airline deems is a preferred seat that some people might want to pay more for. This is not just true for seats in the economy cabin. There are examples of international flights in business class that charge seats. For example, British Airways, I priced a $6,000 round trip ticket, and they still wanted a minimum of $122 to pick my business class seat one way.
Why are the airlines doing this, charging this particular fee?
One word, money. And a consultant I talked to called these seat fees an economic gift to airlines because it requires, you know, literally no investment. They're just monetizing the seat map.
All right. So you mentioned that these seat fees can vary. How does a passenger find out what the fee is attached to the seat that they're reserving?
Airlines generally like will put a range on their, you know, their fee charts, and they'll say, you know, preferred seats or extra seats or this much. But you truly do not find out the true price of how much a particular seat is going to cost to reserve in advance until you start the shopping process. And one thing that drove me bananas on American Airlines in particular, I had to fill out my name, my contact information, emergency information simply to check the chart. On Delta, I didn't have to put that in, but also Delta, when you look at the seat map, they don't have the prices there. You have to click on every single seat to see how much that goes for.
And this is just another of a litany of fees that airlines have become notorious for. But is there any awareness of how these fees, you know, infuriate some passengers?
The interesting thing here is, and I was talking to an industry consultant about it, is, you know, we haven't seen the uproar like we have with baggage fees, you know, when they were introduced in 2008, or we've seen with resort fees at hotels. And that suggests that people are paying, either they're skipping them or they're paying them and just considering it the cost of doing business with an airline these days. And at some point, if the fees get too high or too egregious, or you have zero option to pick a free seat, then they will vote with their wallets.
All right, so let's talk about how passengers can keep some of this money in their pocket. How can they avoid these fees?
Well, the first thing passengers need to know is you don't have to pay a seat fee. You know, airlines, when you buy a ticket, airlines owe you a seat on the plane. I mean, except in those cases of involuntary denied boarding. But they owe you a seat. So if you just skip seat selection, they have to assign you a seat, generally at the last minute. And of course, the caveat there is you might not like that seat, but at least it won't cost you anything extra. One area that airlines clearly are aiming for are, you know, groups of people traveling together, including families. You know, like, in fact, when you shop for an airline ticket, whether it's basic economy or regular, you know, all these warnings pop up. If you don't select a seat right now, you risk not seating together. And again, the airlines do say that they do everything in their power to seat families with young children together. But there's a lot of examples out there where, you know, this is virtually impossible at the last minute. And, you know, people are scrambling on the plane and that can even delay flights.
Now, would being enrolled in an airline's frequent flyer program help?
Being enrolled is not enough. You have to have elite status in the program. So in other words, you need to fly quite a bit because airlines are, that's another reason the airlines are doing this. This is a perk that they see for their frequent customers. So they get to pick these seats, whether it's the preferred seats or the pricier seats that come with extra legroom. They generally get free access to these. But I'm also hearing from travelers that in a lot of cases, depending on your, you know, the level of your status, they're cutting down on those perks too.
Okay, but let's say getting a preferred seat toward the front of the plane isn't important to you and you're avoiding the fee, but you're reserving a seat anyway. How would doing a little math work in your favor?
Well, if you've decided either that you cannot fathom the thought of, you know, sitting in a middle seat cross country and you're going to pay a fee of any sort, you know, a preferred fee, one thing I learned from shopping these different websites recently for this column is it's really important, you know, see if upgrading, really upgrading like to an extra legroom seat might not be that much more. And then to me, then you're getting value for that seat fee. So the difference is a preferred seat is simply a seat an airline deems preferred. It has standard legroom. There's nothing different about it than any other seat on the plane. But airlines also have this next category of seats in the economy cabin, or most major airlines have it. They usually have the word plus in them, economy plus, comfort plus. American calls it main cabin extra. And in those cases, you get something. At a very minimum, you get extra legroom. But in the case of Delta and American, when you buy up, and again, it's not a small buy up, but when you buy up, you also get free alcoholic beverages.
Okay, so it might help you to relax and, you know, rationalize paying all the money.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah. But Dawn, you know, the bottom line here is that it seems like the list of airline fees just keeps growing, and it's caught the attention of Congress. Last year, the Fair Fees Act was introduced. What's the latest on that?
Yes, that generated a lot of headlines when it was introduced right before the holiday season. It is still in committee. I mean, they are calling for more disclosure on these fees and also maybe some limits on the size of the fees, not just seat fees, by the way, but they specifically did mention seat fees, as I don't think a lot of people are aware of how high these can go.
All right, that's Wall Street Journal travel columnist Dawn Gilbertson. Dawn, thank you so much for being with us.
Thanks very much for having me.
And that's your Money Briefing. I'm J.R. Whalen for the Wall Street Journal.
This episode is brought to you by Coinbase Institutional, the first choice of sophisticated investors and institutions that want to invest in crypto assets. As the only publicly traded company with experience trading and custodying digital assets at scale, over 11,000 clients use Coinbase products like Prime and Exchange. Coinbase also recently announced that they're on the path to launching derivatives. Invest in the most trusted name in crypto. Learn more at coinbase.com/institutional.